Thank you. Thank you, Eva. All right, Father's Day. Eddie, could you do me a favor and just dial this back just a little bit, the microphone? Thank you. I'll speak up so make sure you can hear. Father's Day, we each year take time, just like we do on Mother's Day, to give thanks for our fathers, for our mothers, for the important role that they play in our lives. And what an incredible privilege to be a father. I'm looking out here and I'm recognizing that it's mostly gray hairs like me standing here. But I will tell you, you'll think back on the years that your children were growing up, and you just are amazed how quickly it all went by. You know, when you're in the thick of it, you think, boy, how's this going to turn out? How's this going to work out? Just how quickly it went by. And at the end of life, you know, hardly anybody says, boy, I just wish I'd spent more time down at the office. Or I wish I'd spent more time, you know, in front of that computer screen, that monitor. But I have heard people say, and I've been there, I've shared with you before, you know, in 40 years of this and in working with families, that I've heard people say, my own ears, I wish that I had spent more time with the people I love. And so it's important we don't miss that. And that's the challenge there. I'm going to ask if you would bow your heads and pray with me. We're going to be talking about fathers and Father's Day. One of our members years ago said, you know, Bruce, why is it on Mother's Day we celebrate mothers, on Father's Day we tell fathers what they're doing wrong and what they need to do right? Today we're going to celebrate fathers as well and think about the impact that they have on our lives. And as fathers, we can be reminded of what's important in our lives. So let's bow our heads, let's pray, and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, we begin our prayers recognizing you as our Heavenly Father, the creator and originator of it all here. Lord, thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the relationship that you offer to us. And Lord, thank you for what we experience here in this life, here on this earth, of being able to be a father. And even for those who are not a biological father, Lord, who also recognize the importance of being there for other people, the role of the father and caring. And Lord, please help us today to be encouraged by this and to be thankful, those who have been blessed to have had a father that cared and was there and who taught and gave example, a good example, Lord. Please help us who are in the midst of it and who are still fathering. Lord, give us strength. Please give us the wisdom we need. And we just ask that you speak through your word to us today. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we said that it's important not to let the opportunity slip by. Deep inside, dads know that they're leaving a lasting thumbprint on the lives of their children, the people that they share their lives with. And dads know that they are shaping and influencing lives. The real question should be, how can I do this right? How can I go about doing this where it really makes a difference? And as we said, today we want to recognize and celebrate our fathers and also encourage those fathers who are trying to do it right, trying to leave a lasting thumbprint for good. Fathers are important to the health and well-being of their families and to the health of society as well. Last year, for the Father's Day message, I looked to see some statistics that were pretty startling. I thought about bringing them before you today, and I'm not going to go into them, but I will just tell you this. The absence of a father in the home, things can go forward and things can be done right. We know, we celebrate even on Mother's Day, those mothers who have to be both mother and father because the father's been absent. But certainly if you look at God's word, you recognize the design that God provided the template for the well-being and the flourishing of his creation, of a committed father and a committed mother to the lives of their children, that God would bless them with that. And that's what God has given us, and we want to be thankful for that, not just cast it aside, because the results and the consequences of fatherless homes and fathers who are absent and fathers who are negligent in their responsibilities really has an impact, and it's not for good. Now, some have been fathers here today for a long time. You know, as I look out and see, some have watched children grow up, grandchildren grow up, and some are even watching great-grandchildren as they grow up. Some are new to it. We do have some new parents and new fathers in our church body. Some have great hopes of someday being a father. I see some young men here today who maybe aren't thinking much about it right now, but I promise you, out ahead, you will be thinking about what would it be like to be a father. We said as well, some don't have children of their own, but they gladly serve as a provider, a protector, a father figure to some other person, and some pray that God would use them in that way someday. We said some moms are being both mother and father, and we are grateful for their efforts as well. So today we want to honor our fathers by considering some important things they do. There's a lot that fathers do, but there's four things that we're going to look at here today that fathers do and that we should be grateful for. And also, I would just say this, we are new in the grandparent business, Deb and I. We are enjoying it. I share with you some of the things that we get to see, and also some of the concerns. We've asked you to pray for our grandchildren through their lives, you know, as they're coming up. But we want to consider some things that that our fathers do and should do. The very first one is this, that they protect and provide. Fathers are to protect and provide. I want to read, and I want to contrast two passages of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 is a verse I want to read here. And Paul was writing and speaking to families about the importance of caring and taking care of their responsibilities in the home. He went to say this, "Those who don't care for their relatives, especially those in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." So that's a pretty stark statement to say, look, this is an obligation that you are to take care of the needs, not necessarily every want and every whim and every desire that comes floating to the surface in your family, but you are to take care of the needs of your family. I want to contrast this with another pretty well-known verse. It's in John chapter 15 and verse 13. This is what Jesus had to say about true friendship and about really caring for those in our lives. John 15 and 13 says this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." So there you have a kind of a polar opposite of someone who has responsibility to care for the needs of their family, but for whatever reason, it's not being done. And then on the other side of this spectrum, you have this someone who is willing to lay their life down, to give it all. And sometimes fathers are called upon to do that very thing. So that's a contrast there. And that kind of love and consideration demonstrates a father's love in protecting and providing for his family's children. And it reveals a genuine interest in his family's well-being. You know, a father should be the first line of defense for his family, should be there to protect and provide. I want to look at another passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 through 11. Jesus was talking about praying and asking our Heavenly Father about the things that we need. And in this teaching about prayer to our Heavenly Father, he references a good father, a good father. So let's take a look at Matthew 7 and read verses 9 through 11. And Jesus says this, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? He was encouraging these believers to go to God with their needs. And he says, a good father, if their child asks for some bread, do you think they're going to give him a stone? If their child asks for a fish, you think they're going to give him a snake? And what he's pointing to there is that a good father is someone who provides for what is needed, for what is good for his children. Let's go to another passage here. This is the Apostle Paul, who's writing to a group of believers, the Thessalonians. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 9 through 11. And Paul is writing to these believers and saying, look, when we came to minister to you, to bring you a word from God, what God had to say about your life, about your future, about what your life should be about, he said, we came as a loving father. We came as a father who's concerned about his family. So I want to read this description. 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 through 11. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all you believers. And here's the verse really to look at. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. So Paul gives this description. He says, we were among you and treated you as a father treats his own children. We read the verses there. He says, we worked willingly, gladly, to provide what you needed. Night and day we toiled, it says in verse 9. In verse 12 it says, we pleaded with you. We encouraged you and even urged you. You know, love is demonstrated when we as fathers protect and provide for our families. And not just materially and physically, but also emotionally and spiritually as well, providing for those who are in our house. You know, with the demands of providing for a family, oftentimes fathers will be away from their families, and sometimes fathers can be so engaged in trying to raise the standard of living that they miss out on really knowing their children. Here is a regret to avoid in our lives, and I, you know, recognize that most of us, our children are grown, but I see a few out there who have got some young ones in your view, and you're watching, and that's this. I'm going to read this for you. A father said, I was so busy trying to improve our standard of living that before I knew it, my children were grown and gone, and I didn't really get to know them. And that's a regret to avoid, that in such an attempt to provide a good pursuit, that actually getting to know your children, really spending time with them, learning them, and is missed. You know, what's important in this thing of protecting and providing for children is knowing what's going on in your family's lives. And it's hard to do that, fathers, if we're absent. Hard to do that when we're absent. Children are put at risk because dad is chasing something else. That's a dangerous thing to see. And so fathers protect and provide for their children. You know, I remember reading this quote years ago, and I've written it down as I do many interesting things to hang on to. And it's this, and I want you to think about it. We make time in our lives for those things we consider important. I'm going to read it again. We make time for those things in our lives that we consider important. All you got to do is take a look, and you and I will know what's important by the things we do, because the other things just get pushed to the fringe, don't they? And so here's where it makes a difference. When we don't take time with our children, and we're pursuing other things, chasing other things, the children might conclude that maybe they're not that important. And that's a dangerous thing for a child to think. So first of all, what do fathers do? They protect and provide. But secondly, they light the way. I got to read this for you. I'm sure you've heard it through the years. Mark Twain, very interesting commentator on humanity and writer, he said this about himself. He said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in those 7 years." I remember those days, don't you? Well, fathers light the way by what they teach. And so I want to look at a couple passages here. By what they say, by what they do. Let's take a look in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 10 and 11. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Let me read these verses for you. "My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths." Okay, so don't miss that. I will teach you, and then I will lead you. I will teach you, and I will lead you. A verse I read just this morning before I came in, Proverbs chapter 20. By the way, let me just encourage you, as I often do, for your own devotional life. If you are wanting to gain God's perspective on life and gain wisdom, is to read a proverb. There's 31 of them. They correspond to every day of the month, and there's an incredible wealth of practical wisdom right there in the book of Proverbs. But I want to read you this one, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7. Here's what it says: "The godly walk with integrity, blessed are their children who follow them." How blessed are young people who have parents who attempt, by God's help, to walk lives of integrity, because they've got a pathway through all of the confusion that our world offers up. How blessed children are when they can look at a father and a mother, but we're talking about dads today, fathers, and recognize, not perfect, but that's the way I want to walk. And that's a challenge for every father here, no matter how old you are. You know, I've shared this with you before, and it's probably a good idea to share it now. You know, I was there when my dad died back about 12 years ago, and had a wonderful relationship with my dad. He was a hardworking, honest man. He really, his life with God became more evident in his later years. I mean, he had his own business, and he carried the burden of that. Those who have their own businesses, I know what that's like. I grew up watching it. We'd go on a vacation, was going to a relative's house for the weekend. And my dad, I don't know why in the world he'd be thinking about what he had to do when he got back. Does that sound familiar to any of y'all? If it's your business, you know, nobody else is going to be doing the consideration but you. So I observed that. But, you know, I was there when he died, and I watched them take his body out the door about 4:30 on a Sunday morning when they came to pick him up. And, I you know, two things really were very apparent to me, and one is, I am glad that there's a heaven that God has prepared beyond this life. And secondly, I can remember this, I am glad that my dad loved our family and gave himself for his family. And that set an example for my brother and I. And I believe that example, I'm seeing evidence of it now even in our children who've got their own children. That's what we had hoped for. That's what we had prayed about. But the godly walk with integrity. Blessed are their children who follow them. I hope even now you're thinking, if you're, not everybody gets that, you know, not everybody is able to say, my father was a godly person who really loved his family. We know that there's a heavenly father who certainly cares for his family. And I would tell you, if you weren't privileged and blessed to have had a father like that, that you would look to our heavenly father and know that no human father pulls it off, by the way. We fail in so many ways, but those who really try to walk in integrity show their children a pathway to follow. So by what they say, and I want us to go back to one of the foundational passages in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and this was instruction, God's instruction for their leader to speak to the whole nation. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to start in verse 4. Eddie, I think I gave you verses 5 through 9. But here's what it says. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Verse 6, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are on the road, and when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. By the way, the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish people, continue to do that today. They call it phylacteries, where the Word of God in printed form is literally tied onto their forehead, and they tie them with leather straps on their hands. And you've seen, maybe in the home of Jewish friends, I grew up in a community with my friends were Jewish, they had the mezuzah and they had the commandments there on their door frame. And they were to be reminded that there is a God that created this place, and this is what he has to say about life. And so it says this, repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them at home, on the road, going to bed, getting up. We fathers have a responsibility to teach our children to love God, to pay attention to his command. And this kind of teaching doesn't just happen by accident. It happens because we determine to do it on purpose. Do you know what children learn about God and their homes will often be with them and keep them in good standing through their whole lives? So it's not wasted. I can tell you today things that my mother and my father taught me about God when I was a little boy. I've told you before, my mom, she'll be joining us here. I don't lean on her too heavy. Mom, you want to go to church today? Nah, not today, son. Yeah, next time. She'll be with us again, but she taught for 50 years a little Sunday school class, and I was one of those little guys in that class, my brother and I and some of my friends. And some of those things that I learned have stayed with me. So parents, do not give up. I will tell you, when our guys were teenagers, I would look at, I'm not going to name names, but I would look at and I think to myself, where in the world did you grow up? Some of the stuff I'd hear coming out of their mouths, but you know, I will tell you, it's not been lost because they're trying to teach their children those same things today. You know, it's one thing to give our children instruction, which we are told to do. It's another thing to set an example for them. And that's so important. There's an old saying, children may close their ears to their parents, but their eyes are wide open. You know what that says, friends? That they keep watching. They keep watching. Our words, our actions, our faith, how we treat people. They observe when we have to make tough decisions in our lives. And they watch parents. They observe when we're not kind to one another or when we lack understanding of each other. Again, it doesn't matter how old they grow to be, they're still watching. And parents, it's important to know that. Children, I've heard this, I wrote it down. Children are great imitators, so give them something great to imitate. Give them something great to imitate. I think about when we had built a house over in Stewart, and we were serving at a church over there in Stewart. And I used to mow the grass. I had an old lawnmower, just a thing that hardly ever wanted to start when I wanted it to. But our oldest son, Scott, we'd gotten him a little plastic lawnmower. You know what I'm talking about? Tiny little thing. So I'd be out mowing the grass, and who you think would be right behind me pushing his little lawnmower? You know, children, no matter what age, they're watching. I mentioned to you about my dad. Had multiple brain tumors, and he deteriorated pretty quickly, about 6 weeks from the time he found that he had them till he passed away. But you know, I was a grown man with children of my own, and I was still learning by watching him go through that process. And so parents, no matter what age, recognize that you're still teaching your children. They're still watching. I thought about bringing a message today from a passage that I read in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God is giving an account of Abraham, his servant Abraham. And it says this, is the verse here, it says, "He will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and what is just." So Abraham directed his sons and their families and the families of his household, not by just by what he said, but also by what he did, by doing what is just and right. So fathers, we celebrate fathers today because, first of all, they protect and they provide. Fathers, because of their love for their families, have laid their lives down because they love their families. But fathers also light the way by what they say and by what they do. Fathers also do this, they love. And this love includes compassion and correction. Compassion and correction. I want to read from Psalm 103. The psalmist spoke this about our heavenly Father, but it references earthly fathers as well. It says this in Psalm 103, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." You know, sometimes a child doesn't need instruction, teaching, discipline, or leadership. Sometimes a child just needs a compassionate father. He or she needs a dad who will put his arm around their shoulder and weep with them if their hearts are heavy or broken. They need to know that their father cares, genuinely cares. And you know, that often accomplishes more than anything we can say or do, just to be there and for them to know that we understand what's going on. It's called compassion, to feel with. It's an interesting verse, a very short verse. It's considered to be the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11, verse 35, it says, "Jesus wept. One of his good friends had died." And there's probably much more to that whole scenario. We're not going to get into it, but I want you to know that your Savior wept for those who were hurting. And certainly a father, because of his love for his children, will show compassion and at times just weep with them and to feel with them, to understand, to share in their pain. That's the role of what a father does. So that's compassion. But you know, fathers love also by correction, by correction. I want to turn to Proverbs again, chapter 3, and read verses 11 and 12, Proverbs 3. You know, it's hard to believe when you're a kid that correction or discipline is actually an act of love, isn't it? I can remember my dad saying, "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." And I thought, no, that cannot be true. But I became a father, and I had to correct our kids. And, you know, I grew up in a home where we didn't talk back to my father or my mother. My mother's just a little slip of a thing. We grew to be much bigger than her. If you know my brother, he's even bigger than me. But that was not tolerated. Disrespect and defiance was just not tolerated in our home. And that's what we set out after. We loved them. We provided what they needed. We'd be there to share in their joys and sorrows. But we were paying the bills. We weren't going to put up with that stuff. And so we understand that love and truly loving your family is providing compassion and sharing in their pain, but it's also correcting and giving discipline as it's needed. Let me read these verses. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." So fathers, you know, who love their children, recognize if they're walking into the weeds and about ready to step off a cliff, they need to say something, and they need to be a part of that as well. Not cruelty, not brutality, not unreasonable punishment, not being critical, overly critical or dictatorial or arbitrary in punishment, but the word discipline comes to mind. Discipline is not just punishment. People make this connection that if they're disciplined, it's just all about punishment. But in actuality, discipline is really about shepherding towards right behavior, shepherding in a better way, and that's what discipline should be aimed at. You know, if a parent is just unloading his frustration and becoming abusive to his children, that's not discipline. That's not the intent of it. That's just somebody venting their anger. That's a big mistake, by the way, because that will produce an adverse reaction. It will deaden that child's affection, and it will possibly make them feel like they can in no way please their parents. Anybody who's ever grown up in a home where in no way could you please your father, it's a horrible thing. It's not the template God laid down. Okay, so we recognize that discipline is not just a form of brutality or cruelty or harsh punishment, but is intended to produce something. Discipline is intended to produce the fruit of acting in the right way. Okay, righteousness. I'm going to read here. We covered this. We went through the whole book of Hebrews, chapter by chapter, back a few months ago. And there's a verse we read. You may remember it if you keep this in mind. But it talks about the purpose of discipline. Chapter 12, Hebrews, and verse 11. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. Anybody say amen to that? Okay. Who likes to be corrected? I mean, even as a grown man, we don't say, sign me up for some of that, please. It's not something we do. But if you're honest and you actually want to do better, you recognize that correction is necessary in our lives. Because who does it right all the time? None of us. And so discipline is intended for a purpose. Let's read on. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. That should be the intent. Not just venting and not just taking out my frustration out on you because you're not doing things the way I want, but we want to see you for your own benefit go about this in a better way. And that's the purpose of it. There's another verse, let's read it, Ephesians chapter 6, that speaks about this thing of correction or discipline of children in our lives. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, instead, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Teaching and training children and growing them up. And again, that teaching goes on all throughout life. Something I would want to throw in here, and it's important. I recognize today that the congregation that I'm speaking to, most of us are on the other side of a lot of this. But it may be, as I do, that you have children. We got three of them that have got kids. And although I try not to, as they say in Australian slang, have a sticky beak, sticking my nose in their business, there are times where as a grandfather, as a father, I may pull one of our kids aside and say, hey, I see this is something that you ought to consider. Mind you, it's not on a weekly basis because you know the old saying, you know, unsought advice is often unappreciated and usually not followed. You ever heard that? That's the case there. So, but this may be a help. Do you know teaching and training children to respect authority in the home is very important? If children are not taught to respect authority in the home, they will not respect it anywhere else. And I'm afraid much of what we're seeing in the way of outlandish behavior and outburst against innocent people are situations in which young people have grown up without respecting authority and proper boundaries within the home. And when those young people go out into the world, they're going to find a whole lot less amount of patience than they might in the home. And it becomes very frustrating to some. And some have no boundaries and so act out of malice and hatred and destroy innocent lives. So, friends, teaching young people proper respect in the home comes as a result of taking this matter seriously about really truly disciplining, not punishment, but disciplining young people who are under your care. It's important to teach children that there are boundaries in this world, that boundaries do exist. A child that does not understand that there are boundaries, my dad used to say, you know, your freedom to swing your hands anywhere you want, it ends where my nose begins. So he taught me. He said, you can swing your arms if you want, but that's where that freedom stops, right there. And those are boundaries. And it's important that we teach our children to respect boundaries in this world. And, you know, children will test us. And they're going to see if we mean what we say or if it's just an idle threat. That's why, you know, parents, it's a mistake just to make idle threats that you don't follow up on. Earn the child's respect by being consistent and fair. By being consistent. And boy, talk about, is consistency an easy thing to pull off? It surely isn't. But that's what we need to aim for. So, what do fathers do? They protect and provide. They light the way by what they say and by what they do. And also they love. And that love encompasses compassion. And that love also encompasses correction because it's a part of it. And then this fourth thing, and that is this. What do fathers do? They pray. They pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17 is a short verse. You know what it says? Never stop praying. Never stop praying. You know that one of our children that I looked at when they were in their teenage years and asked myself, where did you grow up? You know what my mom said to me when I was about to pull my hair out? I'm not going to get into some of the escapades. Some of you know about them. Some of you know them well. And some of you have stories about your own kids' escapades. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. But you know what my mom would say to me? I'm going to just be honest with you. I was disgusted with some of the stuff. It was just so out of the realm of what our hopes and prayers would be. I had to stop and think. I probably was prayed over too by a loving mother. So I couldn't let that go. But you know what she told me? She said, don't stop praying for him, son. Don't stop praying for him. And you may be here today and you may have a situation that you think, when is this going to turn around? And we don't have the answers to all the things that happen in our lives. But I will tell you this, the scripture says just don't give up on praying. Keep praying. Acknowledge a couple things, though. Acknowledge before God that our children belong to him first and then us. Acknowledge also that his love for them is even greater than our love for them. Understand that God loves them even more than you do. And I recognize you love your kids a lot. You love your family a lot. I love my family a lot. But you know what? God loves them even more. All right, acknowledge also that he, God, can influence them more than we do, okay? Now, these things, I spent probably 10 minutes talking about the importance of instruction and example and how important that is. But understand this, God has ways of getting our attention that we just do not have, okay? Because he's God. That's his job description, and he's fully capable of that. And so, understand that, acknowledge that. You know, we can teach them right from wrong and really take it on seriously, but we can't always be there when it's put to the test. But God can. But God can. That's why we should pray. Pursue God on your children's behalf. Pray for them. And pray for them when God brings them to mind. Just take them before the Lord and ask God to help. Pray with them. James chapter 5 and verse 16 encourages us to not give up on prayer, is what it says. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So keep praying. Just keep praying. Pray that God would use your well-intentioned efforts at being a good father. You know, it's not easy being a good father, but it's not impossible either. And I speak today to some I recognize who don't have children of your own biologically, but there are people in your lives that you impact, that you can protect and provide. You can protect for them, protect them and provide for them. There are some that may look to you and follow your example. Maybe some that are leaning in to hear what you've got to say and are watching to see what you actually do. Some that are desperate for someone to actually share some compassion, if their hearts are heavy, that you would care enough to give some of your time to listen to what their concerns are. And there are folks that you can pray for as well. You know, as we said, it's not easy being a good father. I will tell you this, this year will be 40 years in ministry that we've been doing this. I've got a lot to learn still. I'm learning all the time. And I've enjoyed the ministries that we've been involved in. We, as you know, we were down in the West Indies for a number of years, and I just was on the phone yesterday with one of the folks that was in our ministry down there and the church that was planted, and loved that. Loved serving in that way. I've loved being here, our family, Deb, and I've loved being here for going on 23 years now. But I'm going to tell you something. What I love even more is that family God blessed me with. And I can remember when they were young, real young, I said in my heart, I want to be able, no matter how it turns out, to be able to say we gave it our best, Lord. We gave it our best. You know, even if they turn out to be axe murderers, I hope, God, we gave it our best. And so far, they're on the right track, and we're praying for them. You know, we can't do it alone, fathers. We've got a heavenly Father who is there to hear from us and to protect, to provide, to love us, to instruct us, and also to show us what life should be about. We have a heavenly Father. And God doesn't expect us to do it alone. Just make sure we don't leave Him out of it. Amen? Don't leave Him out of it. I'm going to ask us to stand. We're going to close today in a time of prayer. I hope, you know, through the years in time past, we've asked people to share testimonies about what you're grateful for, about your father. And it may be today there's not much you could honestly say that you're grateful for. But if you're blessed, you're one of those who can say, I am thankful for the father that worked hard to provide for me, who tried to show me the pathway through this maze of life and all of the decisions and confusing directions that are thrown at us. I'm thankful for what I've learned. I recognize that my father wasn't perfect. But today, if you can say, God, thank you for what my father gave to me, be a good time to do it. If you're able to get on the phone, some of you are, many aren't, be able to say, Dad, thank you for all that you did in my life, for the care that you gave our family. Maybe that you would just offer that as a prayer of thanks to the Heavenly Father for that. And I would just say to those, there are some here today who all this is out in front of you, maybe a few years away. Hopefully something will beat within your own heart that says, when it's time for me to be a father, that's the kind of father I want to be. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your great love for us. And thank you, Lord, for this institution, this very thing we call fatherhood. And Lord, we can see that when it's done well, not perfectly, but when it's done well, that it makes a difference. And Lord, help us today, first for those who've been blessed by it, to be truly grateful. Lord, for those of us who are still in the midst of it, to step up and to do what we ought to do. And Lord, please Help each of us here today to look to you and to know that you truly care for us, your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.